From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has joined us a number of times over the years and has a brand new record out called Decembering. It's Tony Furtado. Hello.
Hello. It's good to be here.
It's good to see you.
Wherever I am.
Yeah, you're in Squirrelville, I understand.
I am in the basement of Squirrelville. This is my little studio, and it's also Stephanie's little studio, so...
How are you doing? How are you doing outside of music? How are you doing inside the world of music?
Inside the world of music. Well, both are somewhat chaotic for me.
Yeah.
I think the craziness is, of course, there's the pandemic and us musicians trying to figure out the whole making a living thing with this new paradigm. But then on top of that, the whole thing was shifting anyway with streaming and trying to figure that bunch of nonsense. Well, I mean, good and bad nonsense out. Yeah. You know, it's just the next thing that's happening. And so me being an over 50 musician.
Barely.
I mean, yeah, my first album came out on vinyl. And then they went right to CDs, and then, you know, so I mean, I have seen shift in this business, but this is like nothing I've been able to get used to before,
right.
Because this is something I didn't grow up with is computers and the internet, so there you have it.
Mm. And now you've got Tony Furtado fans that want your new album on vinyl.
Exactly. I have been asked that many times, but not enough for me to feel comfortable with shelling out the buku dinero it takes to make that vinyl now. I mean, when I was younger and I was on Rounder Records, I could buy each piece of vinyl pretty cheap. But now I just have to feel confident that I'm going to sell that vinyl.
Mm-hmm. The new record called Decembering is a banjo record. It is the first banjo record in some time. Was banjo your first love? Slide guitar coming later?
Yes. I started banjo when I was 12 years old. It was part of a project I had to do in sixth grade. I had to make an instrument out of household items. So I made one out of a pie tin and stick and... you know, rubber bands for frets. And I studied where the banjo came from Africa, and the different transformations it made before it ended up as the very brilliant sounding bluegrass instrument it can be nowadays. So, you know, I started from a different direction than most kids might to learn, hey, I want to play guitar. I want to play piano, you know?
Yeah. Did you have a regular band instrument that you also picked up as a kid? Most people do in school.
No, I remember when I got it, I just took right to it. And you know, my aunt and my mom would always say, you sound so good. It sounds so good. It was all that positive reinforcement I needed to just keep going. And the more I got, the more I practiced, the more fun it became and the better I got. And I started taking it so seriously that I would spend hours a day practicing and gobbling up everything any teacher had to give me and looking for ways to push the envelope.
This question is going to shed light on the fact that I'm really not very knowledgeable about how to play banjo. I know how they're constructed and all the different styles of them, but what is it that makes a good banjo tune? Is it the rhythm? Is it the way the arpeggios kind of flow on the hand?
That depends who you ask. To me, what makes a good banjo tune is having a melody that sings, you know. That's number one priority. If it doesn't have a melody that I can relate to, that I can like sink my teeth into, I mean, it's that way with most music with me. I don't really care to listen to it. If it's got some cool rhythms, that's cool too. But the melody has to sing, you know, and if you're listening to a bluegrass tune, some banjo players will say that it's got to have that drive. You know, it's got to have that forward momentum and not let up at all. Because banjo players are all about having that solid right hand technique is what they say, you know. J.D. Crowe, who recently passed away, was one of my big influences growing up. And he had that drive, that essential drive. He was the next incarnation after Earl Scruggs of that intense, like, just never letting up momentum where he placed the notes right exactly where they should be, and it was played with solid tone, too, you know. Mm. After J.D. Crowe, I got into listening to Bela Fleck, who's about 10 years older than me, and I remember hearing his album first, and I didn't relate to it because he was really pushing the boundaries, even as when he was just in his early 20s.
And you're talking about the stuff that he was doing back in the early Rounder days before the whole Flecktones era, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, I gave it a couple months, came back to it, and got hooked on all the melodies that he was creating. He was creating these gorgeous melodies, very inventive, on the banjo. I was like, wow, this is really cool and beautiful, and I aspired to do that, create melodies with complex fingerings, and that pushed me to listen to other types of music, like jazz. I got really into bebop and Irish music. I got really into traditional Irish music, and that because there's such strong melodies in that music, too. Mm.
Tony Furtado is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Decembering. It's on You Say Furtado Records. You can find information at his website, tonyfurtado.com. Well, the first tune we heard from this new album is called Squirrelville, and it definitely has a memorable and hummable melody. I'm wondering if you might want to start with that one and tell us about the banjo you're playing it on.
Sure. The banjo that I'll play this on is my trusty standby these days. It was made by a guy named Jarda Pruka from the Czech Republic, and it's just a gorgeous instrument, and it's titled after our house here that we call Squirrelville, because there's this giant walnut tree just outside that no right-minded individual would have planted outside their house, because it is a huge walnut tree.
How's the foundation?
We figure, in fact, an arborist told us that probably a squirrel planted it years ago. So this place is Squirrelville.
Fantastic. Thank you. That is called Squirrelville. Tony Furtado is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. That is a tune from his new album, just out, called Decembering. Information online at tonyfurtado.com. Super cool. It reminds me, going back a long time for both of us, of like Bellinas, what is it, St. John's Fire? There was like a melody on one of your records years ago that kind of has that same really groovy, driving, melodic thing to it.
Yeah, I would say it's very similar to Bellinas. And yeah. Half intentionally did that.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted to find that vibe again.
It's fantastic.
Thanks.
So most of the stuff on this new record is original. There's a traditional tune, Nimrod's Hornpipe. There's a cover of Here Comes the Sun. Are you, at 50-something musician, are you still learning about traditional banjo tunes that you've not even heard of, let alone heard? And where does that stuff come from? Is there like a team of banjo archaeologists digging through archives around the world looking for things that have yet to be really discovered and explored?
Short answer to that is no. Okay. I am not actively looking for traditional banjo tunes that haven't been discovered. But the other answer would be, you know, I've always got my ear open for old melodies, which could be on fiddle, could be on banjo. But mostly, yeah, I mean, I've always got my ear open for cool old melodies I've never heard. And I like to be influenced by stuff.
You mentioned a couple of names just a minute ago. J.D. Crow, who passed away. You mentioned Bela Fleck, Bill Keith, Don Reno, Tony Trischka, contemporary Noam Pikelny. A lot of folks are going to throw Tony Furtado into that group of really amazing banjo players. Pick a couple of those names and explain what they kind of contributed to that world that you're now inhabiting. Like Don Reno, Trischka, for example.
Sure. Oh, sure. Well, Don Reno specifically, there's a technique that banjo players use that's called either Reno style or single string, where you're using your thumb and your index and you're crossing back and forth, picking one string at a time and emulating having a flat pick.
Okay.
So that's one thing from him that I definitely am influenced by. Tony Trischka. I mean, you know, cool thing about Tony is he was just so inventive and so uninhibited. I got to tour with Tony when I was in my early 20s. We had something called the Rounder Banjo Extravaganza, and we recorded an album too. And one thing that was good about that for me was trying to get out of my shell, you know, musically with the banjo. I know that at that point I was really like, it's got to be this way, and I've got to be very precise and delicate with this and that. And then Tony would get up on the stage and do his tunes. It was like, wow, crash, bang, here it is, go for it. You know, and he would write tunes like in an instant. His tunes would pop right out, and they'd be awesome little tunes, you know. And so that made me realize, oh, I just got to go for it, you know, sink my teeth in.
There's also this whole other world of like the Abigail Washburns of doing clawhammer stuff. I don't recall hearing you do that. Have you ever delved into that world?
No, I messed around with it a little bit. I've always loved that style. I can kind of badly fake it. In fact, there's the old Mac Apple GarageBand loops that you could go in and look. And there was a guy that came around Portland for a little while that went around hiring musicians to record little snippets that Macintosh would use as loops. And I made it on two of them. And one of them was this old time style thing that I ended up writing, really quickly and put it down. I think it was called Riverwalk is what the loop was called. So that's the only time I've ever done that.
I mean, I've always wondered, as kind of a fan and just a follower of music, whether, you know, if you think about jazz guitar and guys like Stanley Jordan that would mount a guitar and basically play like hammer-on technique. Yes, it's a guitar, but it's played in such a different way that it might as well just be a different instrument. I wonder you know, the claw hammer versus the Scruggs style feels that different.
Yeah, For me, I hear past the stylistic, like the technical part of it, and I'm all, like, once again, I'm listening for the melody, but with Clawhammer style, there's also that rhythm that is so cool. It's danceable because it is a dance form that you're playing it with. Old-time mountain music is, you know, you got to be able to dance to it, and you hear that within the patterns. You know, it's there. You feel you want to dance to it. With bluegrass banjo, it's more like, hey, look at me, aren't I cool? I can play all these notes.
Well, I know that in addition to the banjo you just played on, you've also got the big boy.
Yeah.
I would love to hear something on that if you would indulge us. Tony Furtado is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new record, which is a banjo album, it's called Decembering. It's on You Say Furtado Records. You can find information at tonyfurtado.com. Will you play us something on that one?
Yeah. I will play, we'll step back a little bit and do the title track from my album called The Bell, and this is a song I wrote called Broken Bell, which was one of the first songs I wrote when I got a cello banjo. And the way I have the cello banjo tune, in case anyone's curious, is an octave below the regular banjo.
Right on.
Crack my shell, don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. A broken bell, a broken bell, don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. Shadows rise when they hear the call, shine the light and watch them fall. Watch them fall with the coming day, shine the light and they fade away. Well, I'd let you in to see inside. You will never change my mind. You will never change my mind. Cut your eyes with a rusty tongue, and you built your house with the deed you done. The deed you done got a ringing sound. Deed you done gonna tear you down. Well, I let you in to see inside. You will never change my mind. You will never change my mind. Copper and tin for shiny skin. Shiny skin shimmering new. Copper and tin to ring it true. Tolling doors crack my shell. Don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. A broken bell, a broken bell. Don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. When I let you in, see inside, you will never change my mind. You will never change my mind.
That is called Broken Bell. Tony Furtado singing and playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. His new album, entire banjo record, is called Decembering. You'll hear bits of that cello banjo as well as a traditional banjo. TonyFurtado.com, the website, the place to go for more information on the album and all of the different things that Tony's involved with, musical and non-sculpture. Amazing sculpture.
No,
have you been able to
you.
Keep up with that through the pandemic? I mean, I would imagine you've been home a little bit more, but is home where your studio is?
No, home is not where my studio is. I have a studio in what's called the Old Falcon Building, which is an apartment building in North Portland. And in the basement, Brian Wanamaker, the guy that owns the place, created a space for artists and musicians. And also X-ray radios down there. And mostly musicians at this point. It used to be more visual artists. But that's where I have my kiln, and I do all my visual work down there. And,
have you been able to get there much?
You know, I get there when I can. Yeah. Once the pandemic started, you know, we had to start homeschooling the kiddo, Liam, our son. Right. And so, and also we were live streaming a weekly show that you guys have been part of from time to time. We appreciate that we call Thursday Nights Live. And so it's whenever I can get there. Lately, I've been getting there more and more because last year I entered and won Best of Show at a biennial in the Gorge.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And thank you. The prize for that is I get my own show, solo exhibit. So I've never had that before, so I'm going to do that at the Columbia Center for the Arts later this year. And so I'm trying to ramp up production on this one series I'm working on that I'm pretty proud of. It's kind of shaping up nicely.
Right on. For many years, maybe even decades, parts of records have been recorded remotely, where there might be a guest solo that's recorded elsewhere and it's sent over and it's kind of produced in the studio. This entire new record of yours was largely recorded remotely. Everyone but you.
Yes.
Tell me about that process of assembling all of those pieces and not just necessarily getting them to fit, but getting them to mesh to make it sound like maybe they all happened at the same time in the same room. Because there's an art form to that.
I was fortunate enough to work with musicians that all were just so amazing, spot on, willing to work on their tracks to make it sound like we were together, make it feel like, you know. Record my part first, send it out to the next guy. Usually the drummer would go next. And then he'd send it to me, and then I'd work on my part if I had to, then send it out to the bass player. Comes back to me. Okay, let's make sure everything's cool. Sometimes I go back to the drummer. But it was so much work. Like, it's the hardest I've worked on any album.
Wow.
It's just, you know, I had full control this time. So,
I mean, it is a bit of an all-star group. If you talk about John Doyle, Todd Sickafoos, Rob Berger, Tristan Claridge, Mike Marshall, Matt Flinner, Luke Price, Scott Amendola, and more. That's a pretty darn good lineup.
Yeah, it's like a few of those guys I'd never worked with before. I always wanted to. And some of them used to be in my band 20 years ago, like Aaron Johnston and Carter McLean, you know. And me and Todd Sickafoos go way back to the late 90s when we had this trio we called the Furtado Amendola Project, but Todd was always there playing bass, so it was me and Scott Amendola.
Huh.
So it was really nice to get Scott and Todd on a track, too.
Yeah. One guy that's on the record who is also in your trio is Luke Price. You guys have been making music together for quite a while. What is it about Luke that draws you to him as a bandmate and collaborator?
Luke has got such a great ear and a great sense of music. Just, it doesn't matter what style of music is. You know, and sometimes we go ahead, like, we'll butt heads on some things. But for the most part, I mean, we agree on so much. And so if I need a clear bit of input on something, where something should go, he was right there for me. In fact, he co-produced one of the tracks. He was basically responsible for the drums on Squirrelville, because I wasn't sure which. At first on that one tune, Squirrelville, I heard it as being like Birdland from Weather Report. I wanted that momentum, that really, but it didn't work. It was I was forcing that to happen. And I went to Luke and he was like, well, why do you, maybe it should be a bit more open, like halftime feel. I was like, that's exactly right.
Squirrelville itself, the title makes some sense since that's what you call your home in Portland. Tell me about your process for naming other instrumental tunes. I have talked to folks that say that it's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you're talking about instrumentals, especially banjo tunes, I always say it's like naming a disease, but it's a banjo tune. You know, it's like, what do you call it, you know? So there's a couple of tunes I named by when I was reading Wallace Stevens years ago. Like one of my tunes is called The Bards of Euphony. Mm-hmm. And I just thought mm-hmm. that was really evocative, you know, and so I clipped that one. On this album, I did the same thing. Like if I was reading, there was something that caught me. There was a couple of times I put that down. In fact, there's this one too called Greenheart that I probably culled that from an Annie Proulx book called Barkskins, which is a really long novel about the lumber industry. And at one point, she talks about one of the hardest woods on the planet, and it's Greenheart. Huh. So it made sense to me.
Wow. Well, the album truly is a banjo album more than it is a folk album or a bluegrass album. There are world influences that kind of come and go throughout some of the tunes. It's really a fabulous collection of tunes. Thanks for sharing and for doing this with me today. Well, will you play us one more tune to wrap up today?
Yeah, I'll do that tune that I was mentioning earlier, Greenheart.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a multi-part, it's got a strong melody, it felt like it was a good hardwood.
Right on. And this is on the cello banjo again?
Yes.
Cool. It's called Greenheart. Tony Furtado is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. It's a tune from his brand new record called Decembering. It's out on You Say Furtado Records. Information can be found at tonyfurtado.com. Good to see you again. Thanks for doing this, and be well.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.